Thank you, everyone. Please have a seat. And Happy New Year. Happy 12th day of Christmas. If you see 12 drummers wander through, the 9 o'clock worship team could use one of them to stay and come back on a regular basis. That might be good. I hope that your stretch through Christmas and New Year's and all the stuff that happens between was filled with joy and family and lots of love and lots of good experiences. I had a really good couple of weeks, other than hobbling around on a bad leg, which, as you can see today, I'm actually walking normal, well, whatever normal is, and doing quite well. I thought, as I got started with the new year, that we might spend a little time talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Now, this is a little tricky, because like so many other things in the passage, in the Bible, so many other passages in the Bible, it would be really easy just to turn this into another set of sort of notches and benchmarks and rules that, you know, laws that we think. So, you know, you look at it and you go, the fruit of the Spirit is love. So am I loving? Yes, no. No, okay, I'm a miserable failure. Yes, and, you know, am I a joyful person or am I a miserable grouch? Do I have peace in my life or am I anxious all the time? And it would be easy for us just to kind of make this another one of those little checklist things. So let me start by saying this. Forget that. It's not going to work for you. And it isn't what Paul is talking about. What Paul is talking about is that this is what manifests in a life lived close to God. That if we are living our lives in the Spirit, if we are living our lives close to God, then these things are the natural expression of that life. So I can talk about the fruit of the Spirit, but in order for the fruit of the Spirit to become manifest in our lives, there is behavior required of us. And it isn't looking for benchmarks and check marks. It is, in fact, arranging our lives so that we're living our lives close to God, so that these things can grow and flourish and manifest in our lives. There are, as a good Wesleyan, we talk about spiritual practices or disciplines, things we do that help us to keep our hearts and our lives and our minds focused on God. Prayer and fasting and acts of charity, Bible study, accountable relationships, all those other really, really fun things. If I'm cold, I guess Saturday, the men's club Saturday, is going to go snow tubing. I'm bringing a camera. Because it seems to me that our men's club on snow tubes would be camera worthy. And I'm pretty sure that me on a snow tube will be worth laughing at for days on end. So get that picture in your mind. That should work really well. Now, the downside to snow tubing is that you're outdoors in the snow and it's cold. We're going to be like, this week is going to be really, really, really cold. And I'm told, now I'll believe it when I see it, but I'm told that at the bottom of the hill, there's a building that has a fire in it. Building is not on fire. It has a fire in it. And that if you get really, really cold, you go in there to get warm. Can I share a secret with you? If you want to get warm, you have to get close to the source of heat. In my office, I'll go sit on my radiator. Some of you have this really cool thing in your cars where you get in, you push a little button, and your seats warm up. Anybody got that in their car? I want your car. See me afterwards. We'll make a straight-up trade. Should work fine. If I want the fruit of the Spirit, if I want this evidence of a holy life, if I can use that expression, if I want that in my life, then guess what? I need to get close to the source and the provider of those things. If I want a holy life, I need to get close to holiness. If I want fruit of the Spirit in my life, then I need to be close to the Spirit of God. Does that make sense to you? All right. That's what we're going to talk about. We're going to spend 9 weeks talking about this, so buckle your seatbelts. There's 9 of them. And I kept hearing Sally read the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Did you hear that? Goodness. In the older translation, goodness is generosity. And so between services, you know, I go back and I look this up, and it's actually, goodness is actually generosity of spirit. Goodness. So we're on the same page. I'm up there going, where the heck is goodness? Why isn't that? Where's generosity? Why isn't that in here? There it is. I'd like to read to you the passage that is most often and misunderstood at weddings. I think if we actually did in our marriages and in all our relationships what 1 Corinthians chapter 13 actually says, we'd have deep, vital, strong relationships across the board. Listen to what Paul has to say. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am just making noise. Pastor BJ's translation. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith so as to remove mountains, now that would be a strong spiritual life, wouldn't it, having all of that? If I have all of that and do not have love, I have completely missed the point. BJ's translation. I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions and if I hand my body over my body that I may boast and do not have love, I have gained zip. Nothing. Love is patient. And every married person in the room is going, swell. Love is kind. Love is not envious, not boastful, not arrogant, not rude. Ouch. Love does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. Well, there goes my mornings. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, never ends, never goes away, never has a stopping point, doesn't have an expiration date. Love continues forever. Will you pray with me, please? Lord, as we reflect on the fruit of the Spirit and on what it means to draw close to you, give us grace this day to hear. Give us grace this day to understand. Give us grace, Lord, to draw closer to you that this fruit might be born in our lives. In your name we pray. Amen. So I'd like to begin the year by not giving you a set of rules, by not passing judgment on anyone or anything. That really isn't the point of this series. The fruit of the Spirit is not going to manifest in my life because I've become negative and, you know, gotten that nasty finger up there to shake at people. But rather, it's formed because of behavior, because of practices, because I've chosen to expose myself to the fullness of the presence and the Spirit of God. It is the consequence, the result of a life lived close to God. Fruit of the Spirit. Let me say something else about these nine things that Paul put together. It's not a I like these and don't like these kind of deal. It's a package deal. As we live our lives close to God, this is what manifests in our life. So I can look at this passage and I can look at my life and I can say, okay, I'm impatient. I wasn't terribly kind. I seem to be lacking joy today. And instead of going and beating myself up about that, what I realize when I do that is that I am not living my life close to God. I need to move closer to the source of the one who manifests that in me. Attitudes, if you will, priorities, all included, and all inside of us. The truth is, you could probably fake it for a while, and people do. Come on, you know, I can appear to be loving and joy-filled and peaceful and patient so long as I'm around people that know me. And then there's the rest of the time. That won't work, will it? Nine fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness or generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and everybody's favorite, self-control. Self-control used to be translated temperance, but the word temperance in our language has come to mean not drinking. So you can be intemperate about golf or barbecues or television or football, right? Temperance is about self-control. And it's a great word, and we'll get to that in 9 weeks, but it's a great word because it means enough and no more. There's a medium in there somewhere, right? A way to see how I'm doing, right? Love, joy, peace. Now, just before this passage, Paul gives us a list of things that are the opposite. So if these things are manifesting in our lives, you can go back and read Galatians 5. It's a really good chapter to read. You get an interesting list of things that manifest if I'm not living close to God. And on that list are things like, impurity, idolatry, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, envy, those things. Anybody unfamiliar with any of those? Probably not. All right. So for 9 weeks, we're going to do a little fruit testing. How's our life doing? We'll sample it. You'll thump the watermelon and sniff the bottom of the pineapple. And, you know, what else do you do to test something? Right? When bananas are flecked with brown and have a golden hue, bananas, they are ripest and are best for you. Any of you are old enough to remember the Chiquita banana song? All right, I got some of you going, yeah, I know that. All right, fruit testing, all right? The fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, right away, we got a problem because of English. Love, huh? I'm old enough to remember that 2 weeks after the Beatles released their solo album, or their solo All You Need Is Love, they broke up. How'd that work out for him? Love is a many-splendored thing, is a warm puppy, is never having to say you're sorry. Lord have mercy. Obviously, everyone knows what love is, right? Unless you're Tina Turner, in which case, what's love got to do with it? Got to do with it. It's a second-hand emotion. Thank you. Unfortunately for us in English, the word love simply means a stated preference. I love this, which means, by the way, I don't love that. I love carrots, but you can keep the peas. I love kohlrabi, but that fennel stuff I don't want anything to do with. I love my country, too bad about the rest of them. I love Duff's wings, even if I don't eat them often. I love rock and roll music. I love. That for us, the word love in English simply means a stated preference. I love you. Well, it's because there's others I don't really care about or don't want to spend time with or whatever. But we tend to treat love as if it were an emotion, right? I'm falling in, I'm falling out, I'm head over heels, blah, blah, blah. That crazy, crazy pop music language that's out there. Or we say that love is simply a physical attraction. Or sex, right? We talk about making, there's children in the room. Hank, go like this, la, 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 la. Simply, we say making love. Now, the New Testament has three different words for love, and I'm not going to do a whole word study. What I really want to talk about is the one word that Paul uses on that list in Galatians 5, and is the only word for love used in this chapter, chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. And that's the great Greek word, which means agape. the word agape. Agape literally translates love that is a gift, love that gives. Think about that for a second. Because agape is not about my preference. It's not about what I like. It's not about what I feel. It's a choice I make. In fact, the choice that I make is to manifest in my life the very aspect of God's love that is manifest to us. That God's love is expressed, is shown, is revealed in God giving God's self. There's the creation of the world, God giving God's self. There's the birth and the life and the death and the resurrection of God's Son. For God so loved the world, he sent a subcommittee who then debated for many, many months about how he sent his son, Jesus. Love is a life that gives and gives to other. Love, in that sense, agape, is other-focused. It's not about me. Right? It's about recognizing that every single human being has divine worth, and that if the love of God is manifest in me, then I am going to seek what is best for the other, or to put it another way, to always strive to help the other become all that God has created them to be. That's love in the biblical sense. And when you shift it that way, everything changes. Now, I can't just wake up one day and make myself do that. You understand what I'm talking about? That as God's love is poured into me by my getting close to the source of that love, then that love manifests in my life. Because God is constantly pouring God's love into me, I become a channel of that love that then gives and pours out to others, right? Can I say something else about that kind of love? It's not wishy-washy. It's not for the weak of heart. It's sacrificial. Because if I'm loving in that way, I'm always setting my preference aside to help the other. Now, here's the good news, and don't miss this, because all of a sudden our people are going, well, that's got to be a really boring, horrible way to live. Always, always, always taking care of others. But in community together, if all of us are manifesting that love in our lives, then guess what happens? Everybody is taking care of everybody else. You're not just always giving till you run dry. You're giving and being filled and filled and being and that's the essence of community in the biblical sense. And if the one thing the modern church has completely lost, it's that understanding. It's that understanding that I am not here just for my own self. I am not here just to get what I need. I'm not here just to become fully self-actualized. Crazy language that is. But I'm here to give of myself to you as you give of yourself to others, as others give of themselves to me, as we give of ourselves for each other, helping each and all of us to become all that God has called us to be. That is agape in its fullest sense. To put it another way, you can't live agape in isolation because it's love that gives. If there's no one around to give to, you can't live that. You've got to be in community together. That's why I put the Thomas Merton quote in your bulletin today. That God gives and agape gives, and love in the Spirit allows me to have my passions, my interests, my values, my priorities aligned with this God who constantly gives in and through me. Imagine. Go off on a fantasy journey with me. Imagine what life and community lived that way would look like. That gathering on Sunday morning would not be a, yeah, good to see you next week. But a gathering on Sunday morning would be an actual connection with one another. A connection that said, how is your life today? How is your world today? How are you? And not just, you know, I mean, come on, you know, at work, you do it all the time. Hi, how you doing? I'm fine. How are you? Right? The standard exchange. And if you actually gave somebody an honest answer to that question, they run away. How are you? Well, you know, I got a little pain in my right ankle. Panic, running with arms swinging in the air out the door, right? But what if, as Christian community, that was the norm? Not running out of the building screaming, but connected, caring, compassionate, love-seeking ways to engage and to touch and to build and to encourage, oh my God, most of all, to encourage one another on this journey. Now, I'm an incurable optimist. Some of you have noticed that about me. Though I may have my days of total despair, and no, I don't really, but I read this in the scriptures, and I study what we're talking about in the scriptures, and I'm crazy enough to believe that could actually happen. I'm crazy enough to believe that enough of us would choose to draw closer each day, to engage in the practices and behaviors necessary to draw closer to God each day, so that this love would build and grow in us, and we would be able to relate to one another at that level. Right? Who do you have in your life that has the right, has earned the right to ask the hard questions? Who do you have in your life that has earned the right to speak truth to you? And dare I say it another way, who do you have in your life that has agape for you, that loves you in the way that we're describing God's love formed and shaped in us? I have a covenant group. You know, I talk about Aaron and Alan and Bill all the time. Rachel used to call them ABBA, Alan, BJ, Bill, Aaron, A-B-B-A. But Rachel, she's Canadian now, so it'd be A-B-B-A-A. Is that all right, Juliana? You okay with that? No? All right. These guys know me so well, and we've journeyed so much together, that they don't let me be phony. I'll see them 2 weeks from Friday for our monthly gathering. And I know a few months ago I was in one of those, you know, your life a sine curve. You know, you got your ups, you got your downs. Some days you're on top of your game, other days you're on the bench, right there, just, you know, kind of ups and downs, and I was sort of on the downslope of one of those down spirals, and you know, so we get together, and the first question out of the box is, you know, so how are you doing? And I said, oh, I'm fine. How are the rest of you? And my brother Bill looked me square in the face, and he said, you liar. Who do you have that has earned the right to speak truth to you in that way? To challenge you and to call you and to invite you into a deeper life together, into a deeper life in the Spirit, into a deeper life in community. One of the reasons I really like the Disciple Bible Study is because it really is an invitation to journey in that kind of way. There's a covenant within the group. There's prayer for the group. There's a chance to go deeper in understanding the Bible. And so many other ways and opportunities that we can do that with and for each other. The fruit of the Spirit is born in our lives because we choose and do the things we need to do to draw closer to God. Now, I've discovered on my journey that that don't happen by accident. That every day I got to get up and every day I got to make a choice. Will I start this day working in my own strength and trying to figure it out on my own, or will I start this day trusting God, listening to God's word, listening to the voice of God speaking into my life, listening, praying, and moving forward? I can tell you that the days that I know, that the days where I am most productive, whatever productive means, are the days when I've chosen to move closer to God today. And the days when I'm out there doing goofy things, okay, most of the rest of the time, are the days when I fail to do that. What will you do this year to draw yourself deeper into the relationship you have with God in Christ that will allow the fruit of the Spirit, love that gives, is what we're talking about first. Next week, we get to Sally's favorite. What's Sally's favorite?
Yeah,
exactly. It's no mystery about what you're about, dear. Next week, we'll talk about that. But love that gives. Draw close to God, and that love is formed and shaped in us, and our lives make a difference. Amen? All right, let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for this community and what we could be. What we could be if we drew closer to you each and every day and built within our community, our family here, the kinds of loving, kind, giving, joy-filled relationships that Christian community, as the Bible describes it, can be. Give us the grace, Lord, to choose to go deeper on this journey with you as we begin this new year. In your name we pray. Amen.